everybody. Welcome to Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host of not only this podcast, but He Didn't Like It with Jesse Blanco. You can find that weekends on WJCL-TV. We just kicked off season 16 of that TV show, and we are about to enjoy the full lot of that through the fall. On the other end of this situation here, Margaret, we call her Maggie Crenshaw. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We've got people out there calling you Margaret. We call her Maggie Crenshaw.
I know. My name has gotten so long.
You're gonna need an extended driver's license.
Yes. Like that,
so that it'll all fit.
Margaret, we call her Maggie.
What was that? I missed your joke.
That I have to create new business cards. Did I tell you that I was at Walgreens one day and the lady standing there said, "Are you Margaret? We call her Maggie Crenshaw."
She did, for real?
Yeah. And I said, "Yes, I am. Who are you? Nice to meet you."
That is weird when people do that, where you're like, you're kind of caught flat footed. I was down last Thursday down in Darien, Georgia, to judge the very enjoyable, by the way, I have to add, the first ever Taste of Darien McIntosh. You ever been to Darien?
Yes.
I hadn't been in 20 some odd years since I used to cover high school football down there. I had driven through once or twice, just through on Highway 17, coming to or from Brunswick back to Savannah. But I had never stopped. I hadn't stopped in forever. And so I was there for a few hours last Thursday. And Darien's having a minute. Darien's having a minute. There's a big, beautiful boutique hotel right on the river. There's a bunch of shops and restaurants and little cafes. It's almost like, oh,
wow.
I gotta come back here. But all that to bring up the fact that there is a brewery, about a year old. They opened it last year. It is the oldest. It is believed to be the oldest tabby building in the state of Georgia that still exists.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big old, you know, barn looking thing. And Darien was burned down. I don't know the year. Darien was burned down at some point, I believe in the Civil War. But this building survived, and somebody bought it a year and change ago and completely renovated, put well over seven figures into it, and
wow,
made it into a brewery. A brewery with a deck and overlooking the river, and it's like a thing, and with these shops around and everything. And I'm standing there going, man, this is actually really cool. I need to come back here. So all that to say, I was told about it when I was at this tasting event and County Expo. Oh, you got to go see the brewery. So I said, you know what, on my way out of town, I'm going to go stop over there and just to see. And I was blown away by how beautiful and historic it is. But I walk in, and there's probably 15% of the people, you know, capacity in there. And I'm looking at the list of beers. There's probably 8 or 9 beers all made right next door. And there's a female bartender, and this guy comes out from the back, a second bartender, and he makes eye contact with me, and he goes, "Hey, Jesse." I go, "How are you, sir?" And I'm down in Darien. So you in Savannah, that happens to me every 30 seconds. But in Darien, it kind of caught me like, "Oh, hey, how are you, sir?" And I'm standing there thinking, do I know this guy? I did not know that guy. But like I said, when you're out of pocket, right. When you're out of pocket, it's a little jarring when someone calls you by name. And in your case, when the lady at Walgreens says, "Are you," we call her Maggie Crenshaw, I'm sure it was kind of like, "Oh, yes, I am." Well, yes, I am.
Well, first of all, I was glad that I had brushed my teeth and my hair was combed, you know, all of a sudden you realize, wow, okay. You know, you can't just like go out of the house in your pajamas. I mean, not that I did, but, you know.
I have. It's funny because I go out sometimes in a hat and not shaved and, you know, whatever. And people will come up to me and say, "You're trying to be in disguise, aren't you?" "No, this is how I live. This is who I am." It's like, no, I'm not hiding. I'm just not buttoned up like you see me on the TV.
Well, when you work from home like we do, you know, our offices are in our homes. We don't have to impress anybody.
Yes. Yes.
Sitting here at our desk.
So if you ever want to get away, anybody who's paying attention to any of this information that we like to share weekly, you want to get out of town and do something different, head down to Darien. It's, I would guess, an hour and change from Hilton Head, for about 45 minutes from Savannah, depending on what part of town you're in. But it's really, really cool down there. I cannot wait to go back. I'm going to go back on a Friday, so there'll be less people. And really, you know, kind of go door to door, eating and liking here and there. Some good food down there. So,
that is so
all of that's, I'm sorry?
That is so interesting. I had no idea. I thought, you know, they have the outlets there. That's...
Those are gone, though.
Oh, are they really?
They've been gone 100 years. It looks like something from The Walking Dead now.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, you drive by now. Yeah, right at that exit. That's the Darien exit. You drive by that now. On the left, there's a former Dairy Queen that I used to go way back in the day. Me and videographer Jim Jensen. That was our stop when we were down in Darien at that Dairy Queen. But those outlets are completely gutted, and the buildings are still there. It's, you'd think they'd do something with it, but no, it's zombie apocalypse now down there. But you got the Pooler outlets, if that's your thing. You got the Tanger outlets for you, so.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, something to get out of town for down in Darien. How was your weekend?
It was good. It, you know, Saturday was a very upsetting day of football for me.
Saturday was your best day of the week, and there's one big reason why.
This is true. Are you going to tell everyone what we did?
The next line there is because you got to hang out with me.
I got to hang out with Jesse.
Yes, we don't do that often. We don't do that often at all.
We are always so busy. But yeah, that was very good. So you were over for the chili cook-off.
Yes, the chili cook-off brought to you by the Island Rec Center and the Kiwanis Club. And they had the Jeeps out there and the whole scene. And I've been a judge for the chili cook-off. Ooh, I think it's their 40th chili cook-off. I've probably been a judge somewhere between 7 and 10 times. It adds up over the years. Yeah. Down at Low Country Celebration Park. It's a good time. The weather, you know, Saturday was a little bit chilly and windy. So I think the crowds were a little thin because of that. And then, you know, I laugh because... You judge these things so much, you get it down to a science. There were 20 chili, no, there were supposed to be 20. There were 18 chili entries, and I don't have a cup here to show how big they are, but big styrofoam cups, maybe 16, 20 ounce bigger styrofoam cups, and they're all numbered 1 through 20, and they get passed around to about 10 of us, 10 judges. And, you know, you take a spoon and you taste it and you keep it moving because you don't need to eat a bowl of chili to see if you like it or not. You just take a plastic spoon and toss it so there's no double dipping. And usually the case is if there's 20, 3 are great. 3 are dreadfully awful. And the rest are somewhere in between. Heck, if that wasn't the case here this time, there were 2 that were above average in my book, because I'm only an expert in my opinion. 2 that were above average in my book, 3 that were like, I don't understand what people are thinking sometimes when they make chili. Chili's not hard to make, y'all, that you would turn in for a competition something as, the word I used with a friend is putrid. I don't understand, man. How do you do that? I mean, if I know that I'm going to be entering a chili cook-off next week, I'm going to practice once or twice. It's chili. It's not a big expensive thing. It's time consuming, perhaps, if you do it right. But, you know, please care. Because some of this stuff, I can't imagine somebody tasted that and said, that's it. Send it in. Because it's awful. There was one, my friend is sitting right here next to me, and she gives me the cup, and she goes, and so I take it. I'm already on the defensive because of the look on her face, and I take the spoon, and I went, She about spit her truly on me.
Oh, I know who we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come. I don't understand. I don't understand that there's no excuse, really. Shame on you for horrible chili. There's none. You've known this for how long that you were going to do it? You probably entered this before because it's usually the same names that are there, although we judges don't find out names. We just get numbers. So we find out, you know, hours later. I found out late Saturday night. Hey, Lincoln and South won. Okay, cool. I have no idea which was their chili because it's all numbered. And I like it that way.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you don't have any bias because of names. Same with the wings, the Wing Fest in March. You know, they're numbered. We don't know whose or whose, but although if you eat enough wings on the island, you kind of know whose are these. Oh, these taste like so-and-so's. Okay. But, okay, rant over. Stop making bad chili, y'all. Do you have a favorite chili recipe?
I do, yes.
What, do you have a secret ingredient?
Yeah, I do a few things, I think, that are maybe different from what other people do, but it nothing, you know, extraordinary. I like to, I brown my meat and onions, and then I sprinkle flour over it and add beer slowly and pull that up so that it thickens it from the base before you add the tomatoes and tomato juice or whatever. And I probably have made chili 1,000 times, and I bet you there's not a single time that I made it the same as the other time. Yeah. It depends. It's one of those forgiving things, right?
Right.
Like you can make it with a can of tomatoes, or you can make it with crushed tomatoes, or you can make it with tomato juice or Bloody Mary mix, or, you know, and it kind of all depends. I also like to add chipotle peppers. Smoked paprika, like a smoky chili. Sometimes I'll finish it at the end with a little cinnamon.
Yeah, there was one with cinnamon. There were probably two with cinnamon. One I found out later after we were walking around the grounds there that someone had used coffee, which I thought was interesting. But when you say beer, do you have a specific beer? Do you experiment with beers, a specific type of beer? What kind of beer do you use?
It has to be a stout beer. You know, it has to be something heavy and stout.
Okay.
I mean, in a pinch back in the day, I would use a Michelob Ultra because that's what I had in the refrigerator. But I really don't drink beer anymore. So I have to specifically buy it if I'm going to make the chili.
I understand. Yeah, I would think, you know, a Michelob Ultra. Yeah, you got to have a strong beer there. You mentioned smoky a little bit ago. There was one, and few things light me up in a negative way. It happens sometimes with Wing Fest in March. Few things make me go and do a flip, and my hat goes like that, and the whole thing. Liquid smoke.
Oh, no.
Yes.
There was a
liquid smoke chili that is a distinct flavor that you can almost...
It is. It's fake.
Yes.
You have that fake taste.
Why anybody would use that for anything is beyond me, but there was one chili with liquid smoke, and I was ready to box somebody out in the middle of the Jeeps. I'm like, really, man? Come on now, it's chili. It's not that difficult. Stop cheating.
Yeah, I don't like that.
This chili cook-off is going to give me anxiety next time. Get all fired up. No, you know, everybody there, all the judges, it's for charity. Obviously, the Island Rec found out last year donated $280,000 to Island Charities, which is wonderful.
Amazing.
It's a great fundraiser. And it's a wonderful cause, and you get to catch up with everybody, met a couple of new friends and all that good stuff. So it's a wonderful day, but man, a handful of those chilies. I was thinking driving home.
I thought the rant was over.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Bad, Jesse. That's how fired up I was about it. Anyway. So yeah, so I bailed on the frozen tundra that was Low Country Celebration Park because it was windy and cold. I was standing there. My friends are like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm freezing," and I don't complain about cold, but I was freezing. And so you and I met at a place I had never been. Did you know I had never been up there?
Not necessarily. I don't guess. No.
Well, I'm telling you now, I had never been before Saturday to the rooftop bar at Smokehouse.
That's right. That's right.
So there. So yeah. So we met up there to watch the second half of Florida State Pittsburgh, and catch up and visit. And there were a bunch of fans there. And by the time you left, it was pretty full up there.
Oh yeah.
They got going pretty good.
Yeah, Smokehouse has an incredible following. They have a lot of TVs. You know, yeah. The rooftop bar is since Smokehouse burned down a few years back and they rebuilt it, they built the rooftop bar. And so they've got a few TVs up there as well. But there are so many, I mean, I don't even know, like 20 TVs downstairs. And it's been a destination for Saturday and Sunday sports events for many years. And I think Ellery was, my daughter, was still in middle school when, you know, we started hanging out there on the weekends. And they do a great brunch on Sunday. I've talked a ton about that salmon salad that I love so much. And I think they have the best wings in town. I've always thought that they had the best wings in town. And there were many years, you can see the trophies in the restaurant, that they won Wing Fest for their smoked wing.
Well, you had some. One of the things that jumped out at me about that experience was their game day menu, which is pretty amazing when you think about what stuff costs these days. During game afternoons, they put out a little skinny menu, there's $5 vodka cocktails. Then a small $6 menu for food, including six wings or two sliders or a buffalo chicken sandwich or small nachos. It was like good nibbles. I mean, sure, you can go there and eat a full lunch, but if you just want to nibble like we did,
$6 for six wings is, I'm telling you right now, they're not making any money. That they don't skimp on the product just because they're selling them cheap. They're not making any money. They use the best product you can buy, and I guarantee you they're almost a buck a piece just to buy them and get them in the refrigerator.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's not uncommon these days to see, you know, at the better wing places, to see wings pushing $2 a piece on a menu. Eight pieces, $17. You know, I've seen that. I get it. So to get them for a buck a piece and then a $5 vodka cocktail or a $5, you know, domestic draft, whatever it is, Coors Light or Mick Ultra or whatever, you know, is a deal. And I was impressed by that menu. And like I said, I had never been there and I went, oh, you know, like this, I could come back here and hang out and watch my Miami Hurricanes dominate college football.
They do. They have good game day specials, and they have happy hour from 3 to 6. Most restaurants do it 4 to 7.
Yeah.
But on the resort island that we are, you know, there's no time like the present for happy hour. So they started at 3.
Yeah. Is it a similar menu? I've never seen their happy hour menu.
They're not the same as the game day specials. And I think I'm not sure what happy hour food they actually have, but they do have good drink specials.
That's good. That's good. That's important. Yeah. No, so it was enjoyable and it was nice up there on a pretty afternoon, which the rain stopped. And so it was a little bit chilly. So, you know, it wasn't hot by any stretch. It was an enjoyable few hours up there. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, you can't beat watching a ball game with a view of the water, and everybody comes to the island asking, hey, where can I find a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a view of the ocean? You know, that's kind of the thing. But absent a view of the water, that's a great little scene up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fun that you have, it's on Palmetto Bay Road. So you have the traffic on Palmetto Bay that you can hear swooshing by, and it kind of gives you that feel that, that you're in a metropolitan city, you know, on the, at a rooftop bar.
I wouldn't say that, but okay.
Close.
No, I know what you mean. You feel like it's not a sleepy little hidden amongst the bushes type situation.
Right. With the frogs and the cicadas sounding off in the background.
Right. So your Auburn Tigers went on to cough one up against the Georgia Bulldogs.
I can't even talk about it.
I know.
If you want to hear a rant, just try.
No rant. Kirby got away with one there, boy. I had no dog in the fight, and I'm sitting there, and my wife is yelling, "That's blah, blah, blah. That's expletive. That's blah, 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 blah." Yeah.
I know. And you and I were texting back and forth. You were like, "That was so a touchdown."
Yeah, that was a touchdown. That was a touchdown. You did call a timeout. There were a couple of phantom penalties. It was, it was very interesting. It was very interesting that they were trying to keep Georgia relevant.
Yeah, I watched the Tennessee game before that, which was not nearly as exciting. But I tell you, by the end of the night, I could barely talk. I screamed at the TV so much.
I will say this, in case there are any Georgia fans out there whose nose is bent by what I just said about keeping Georgia relevant, Georgia has proven themselves to be a program. They can go on the road and they can get in a dogfight like that and they can swap heavyweight bout punches and do what they did. They've done it before. I'm sure they'll do it again. So whatever. But sometimes you have a little bit of an off night and it's nice to have the zebras on your side. So there's that.
Well, you know, everybody kept texting me and saying in the first half when we were up 10-0, Auburn was up 10-0. Great lead. You know, we've got this great lead. I said, this makes me completely nervous because those rednecks are going to go back to the locker room at intermission at halftime and they're going to come back out fighting and the second half is not going to look good for us.
Wow.
Wow, I said,
there are no rednecks on the plains.
Not as many.
Okay. You're a little more dignified in a southern way. Super southern. You got not going to let that super southern business go, by the way.
or the integrity of the peanut meat.
Shirt that says SS. Boiled peanuts. We saved the football for last. How about that? And in doing so, we've run over time. Tell us where we can buy a humble abode before we get out of here.
I'm a realtor on the cut. Time out.
Yeah.
Clap off. I was clapping. I'm a realtor on the Kaiser Dutton team at eXp Realty, and you can view active listings for sale at margaretcrenshaw.com.
Say no to bad chili. Bro.
Just say no to bad chili
and check out the game day specials at upstairs of the smokehouse. That was legit. So
smoked wings.
Yes. I'm headed to the Great Northwest. I will send you photos.
You remember that song?
Who?
Take off to the Great Northwest.
Now, okay. Bonus trivia. Who sang that song?
Doug and Bob McKenzie.
Woo! Now, who was it that said, "Take off"?
Doug.
Geddy Lee from Rush.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, that was Geddy Lee.
Didn't know that.
Who, by the way, Rush has announced they're doing a tour next year, and I'm hoping to be able to go only 7 cities nationwide.
I love that. I want to go.
We'll talk about that next time.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
You too. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.